17 on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Morgan Alexander, our producer. It's time now for one of our favorite segments of the week from BallQuest.com, the premier source for Tennessee information. Brent Hubbs joins us now. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all?
We're good. Our show has devolved into arguments about the moon landings this morning, so we'll try to get it back on the rails here with you.
Hey, if they're going to the moon, we're all going to the moon, right?
That's exactly right.
Let's all go to the moon.
Does Tennessee, you know, land the eagle on the coordinator search at some point here soon?
I don't know. It might be easier to get to the moon than hiring an offensive coordinator at this point in time. I don't know. I think it's interesting trying to decipher where Tennessee is in this search and maybe is not in this search. What we know is last Friday that Jeremy Pruitt interviewed three candidates. Kendall Briles is not a factor, from everything I'm told. That's not gotten done at Florida State. Not sure what the holdup is there. Doesn't appear like Tennessee is going to be a factor or is a factor with him at all. I don't think he's on the radar screen for Tennessee at this point. Jeff Lebby is a quarterback's coach at Central Florida who interviewed on Friday. Lebby, according to multiple people we've talked to, has told others he's not coming to Tennessee. So you got Mike Yurich, who's the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. He is said to have been the most impressive of the three last Friday, which would naturally point it towards him being the guy. But, I don't know where that's at. I don't know that is going anywhere at this point in time. So if it's not any of those three, the question becomes, where does Tennessee go next? And I'm not sure anybody has a great feel for that. I certainly don't.
Early signing period begins a week from today. They have 20 commitments. Considered a top 15 class. How high can this group rise in those rankings for what they're worth?
Well, I think the closing of this class will depend on what they do in January, not what they do this next week. They're going to hold on, I think, to the commitments that they have, and I think they'll get those guys in the boat. But they're going to have, probably 5 to 7 spots, depending on how things go in the next week in January. And then it's going to be, can you get Darnell Wright? Chris Bogle's a pass rush edge guy from down South Florida that I think it would be an upset for Tennessee to get, but they're going to still swing and be in it for him. He's not going to do anything until the late period in February. So there's probably a dozen to 20 guys that Tennessee's going to be involved in January. And how they close with those guys in January will ultimately be the final say in kind of where this class is ranked. Can they get in the top 10? Can they stay in the top 15? Can they meet some of their needs? They need an edge guy who can rush the passer. They've got to finish with linebackers and need a linebacker in this class. And then they've got to find a speed guy at the receiver position. I think those are kind of the three priorities for Tennessee from this day forward, all the way through the February signing date as well as next week's signing date.
You always hear that teams lose or gain a lot by having those bowl practices. How much do you feel like Tennessee really lost by missing out on those?
I think it was a chance to continue to develop and grow for some of those younger players. I think sometimes those 15 bowl practices are, because they've limited it now to 15 and you've got to manage final exams and you have coaches in, some days when you practice for bowl practice, all of your coaches are not there because they're on the road recruiting. So much of your efforts in December, the first part now, have to be devoted to recruiting because of the early signing period. I think anytime you can practice, it's good. Do I think it's, quote, an extra spring practice the way it's been sold for so long now? I don't know that it's exactly that compared to what a normal spring practice would be. But for this young team, they would have certainly benefited by 15 extra workouts.
Our guest from BallQuest.com is Brent Hubbs.
Well, Brent, you were talking a little bit about recruiting. And, I've watched this kid on TV, the number one receiver in the country. What are the possibilities of getting the Hazelwood kid to go to Tennessee? Because, man, he's pretty dynamic, even at a tall guy who plays as though he's 5'11", and he can make guys miss, he can punt return, and man, is there a possibility they could get this kid? Because he acts as though that they are on the list. I guess it's top five.
Well, they're one of the final five finalists. He was up in Knoxville last weekend for an unofficial visit, so obviously he's got some interest there. He's supposed to go to Georgia this weekend for an official visit, and he was committed to Georgia for a long time. A lot of people think he may end up jumping back into Georgia boat. Georgia's hot right now on the recruiting trail. Miami's been a factor there, but, Miami's sort of unknown on offense like Tennessee is a little bit. I think ultimately, Blaine, it'd be an upset for him to end up at Tennessee. The fact they got him on campus for an unofficial visit last weekend suggests that he's certainly listening and has some legitimate interest in Tennessee right now.
Mm. How do you view not having an offensive coordinator? Because it seems as though it hasn't affected recruiting at all. Should it or shouldn't it? What is your view for point from your end?
Well, I don't think it's affected any of the committed players, any of the offensive players who are committed to Tennessee. Now, Tennessee wants to finish with Eric Gray. That's really important. He's the West Tennessee running back who was Mr. Football for 3 years in a row. Interesting, he is scheduled to be back on campus this weekend unofficially, which means I think he will have been on Tennessee's campus three of the last 5 weekends in some capacity, which is obviously a positive sign for Tennessee if that's indeed what happens. He has stated he would like to know who the coordinator is, but he's also stated that Jeremy Pruitt's made him feel pretty comfortable in the direction this offense is going, which has led some people to believe that Eric Gray knows and it's this big secret out there and all this stuff. I don't know about all that, but I think he feels pretty comfortable with it. I think some receivers would like to know exactly what the offensive direction is going to be and who it's going to be. But in terms of the committed players, I don't think it's having any great effect on them at this point and their willingness to sign next Wednesday.
With so many quality, coaches on staff, how surprised would you be if he just hired somebody in-house?
Well, I don't think that's been his plan. I don't think that's where Jeremy Pruitt has planned on going when this search started. But as we wrote the day the search opened up, you never say never, so you don't close the door on that. You go out, you talk to as many people as you can, and if you can't find somebody who's the right fit for you, then you never know. And so I would not completely rule it out. Now, I'm not saying that's the direction he's going because I don't believe right now that that's the plan. And I know it has not been the plan, but I would not blame completely rule it out. But the bottom line with this hire for me, in my opinion, and this is my opinion only, this is not as much about scheme, X's and O's, as it is a guy that Jeremy Pruitt feels completely comfortable with and completely trusts to go, hey, go run your offense. Go run your offense for us. And that's that guy's offense, and Jeremy Pruitt's back and invested, you know, in defense and overseeing the entire program. I think it's got to be a guy that Pruitt completely trusts. I think the trust factor is more important than the scheme or the X's and O's factor for Jeremy Pruitt in making this hire.
Mm. Any other defections off the current roster or transfers expected?
Final exams are running through this week. So I think if you're going to see any more, I think you will see them probably announced probably post-Christmas when guys get ready to come back and go to school. I do think at some point in time, it may be after spring practice, I think there'll be some more player defection, some guys looking at options elsewhere. But in terms of that coming right down the pike, you know, this week, I don't think so. Because I think right now, for all those guys, it's about finishing the semester the right way so that you can transfer or so you can graduate and be a grad transfer. So, I'd be surprised if there's not some more defections. But I think from a timing standpoint, it's probably going to be post-Christmas before we hear much more on any of those.
Brent, you know, a lot of times we get hung up on what we see on TV and, you know, maybe draw too much from it. But the sight of Jeremy Pruitt sort of tearing into Tyson Helton on the sidelines, do you think that at all is affecting the way some of these prospective offensive coordinators are thinking about the Tennessee job?
No, I don't think the visual of that has any effect on it. Now, you know, if you're an offensive coordinator and Jeremy Pruitt wants to talk to you and you have some interest in Tennessee and you're doing your research, you know, do you call Bowling Green, Kentucky and try to talk to Tyson Helton? Maybe. And I don't know what Tyson Helton would say about his time at Tennessee when it's all said and done. If he would even discuss it at all, I have no idea if he would. He's got his own staff to put together and everything he's trying to get done up there. But I don't think somebody says, you know, I'm not going to go to Tennessee because the coach is yelling on the sideline. I think what people see is that's the culture in which Jeremy Pruitt has learned coaching. We see it with Kirby Smart. You know, the visual of Kirby Smart with his hand over his microphone screaming at Jim Chaney in the press box. You know, we've seen Nick Saban dress everybody down on the sideline who's coached for him, not just this year, but for the last 10 years. And so that's just kind of the way that program and the way some of the Saban trees. I mean, we saw Derek Dooley do that at times. I think in the heat of the battle, that's just part of it. And I don't think if a coach, if that scares you off, then you're definitely probably not the right fit, not just at Tennessee, but probably not the right fit at a lot of places around the country.
He's always a great fit for us. Brent Hubbs, BallQuest.com, his outstanding website, joins us every week. Talk Tennessee more with Brent coming up in just a moment. 8:28 the time here in the Wake Up Zone. Let's talk about Open Door for a moment. Man, you've been thinking about selling that house, been putting it off for a while. Maybe you're thinking about downsizing or whatever the case might be for you. Open Door is ready to help you out. It's a new inventive way to sell your home. It eliminates all that stress and all that hassle that goes with putting your house on the market. You think about a traditional home sale. It might be on the market for an average of 50 days until you close. And you know, think about the buyer's financing. It could fall through. You have all those hidden fees and upfront costs and contractors and things that have to be done to get those repairs done. Open Door eliminates all of that for you. You get it done quickly. You skip all the hassle that goes with selling your home. They've helped people avoid thousands and thousands of home showings just by using Open Door. And they've served over 20,000 customers in about a dozen cities, and they're still going strong and still growing. A faster, streamlined process. You get a free offer on your home within 48 hours and saves you hours and hours of prep work. You go to the website, you take a look, man, it has all the info you need, and you can get your free offer. All you have to do is enter your information. They'll have that free offer to you within a couple of days. And again, save you all that prep work. You also get a competitive fair market offer on your home using trusted local data. Sell your house without ever putting it out on the market and close on your own timeline. As quickly as 10 days, maybe take as long as 60 days, whatever the case, they're going to have it done for you quickly. You're going to have your money. You'll be on to your next house. Visit opendoor.com/radio today. Get a free offer on your home. Again, opendoor.com/radio. The Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. It's 8:34. Welcome back. We continue our Wednesday morning conversation with one of our favorites from BallQuest.com, Brent Hubbs.
Brent, and I always encourage everybody to subscribe to BallQuest because they get great information and analysis. And one of the things, Brent, you guys wrote about, as you know, is how important January is going to be with, you know, even though the early signing period is important, there seems to be a lot to be gained in January for Tennessee with so many guys out there that they're in on.
Well, that'll determine how this class finishes, the close of this class. I mean, you know, the narrative when the early signing period came about was that basically everybody would be done in December and January would be all about the next year's class. And in a lot of ways, January is becoming about the next year's class, work ahead, get ahead, that type of thing. But Tennessee's going to have probably 5 to 7 spots left for the class of 2019 that will sign in February when they get into January, starting with Darnell Wright. You know, Henry To'oto, who is the five-star linebacker from out in Concord, California, is going to decide between Tennessee and Alabama sometime in January. You know, Darnell Wright's one of the top 5 players in the country. So there's some big-name prospects that Tennessee's involved with, and then just some big-name prospects in general that aren't signing in December, making January more relevant than I think some people thought it would be. I think the notion in covering recruiting was that January would become just an irrelevant month in the recruiting world, and that's not completely the case, particularly for Tennessee this year. There's some big names out there, and Tennessee needs to close with some of them if they want to finish this class off the right way.
Your thoughts on Butch Jones going to Maryland and the ironic situation that might occur that T. Martin might end up on that same staff?
Yeah, I don't know what T's going to do. I think T's going to have some other options out there. He could end up at Maryland, but I think he's certainly looking at some other options, although Michael Oxley wants him on that staff. And Mike and T know each other because they worked together out in New Mexico a few years ago. So we'll see. I mean, look, college football coaching always creates strange bedfellows. That's why you don't burn bridges along the way, because you never know. I think for Butch Jones, he was going to land somewhere, you know, and should land somewhere. I don't think anybody saw him as a head coach. You know, his next move would be being a head coach. It would be as an assistant coach. And he and Coach Loxley have developed a pretty good relationship with each other in Alabama. And, you know, Butch Jones's job at Alabama was he was kind of the advanced scout. He's the guy who worked a week ahead on the opponent. And so when they got into the office on Sundays, he kind of presented to Mike Loxley, hey, here's what the next opponent does. Here are some ways I think offensively, you know, you can go at them. Here's things and tendencies and things they like to do. And I think Mike Loxley was comfortable and liked what Butch Jones brought to the table for him every Sunday. And as a result, in completing his staff, he's got a spot for him there.
Our guest is Brent Hobbs from BallQuest.com. Brent, we saw Tennessee move up to number three in the country after that win over Gonzaga on Sunday, and also Admiral Schofield won SEC Player of the Week for making all those threes and scoring 30 points. You know, Rick Barnes afterwards was, you know, talking about the work that he put in on his shot, and Admiral has also always, you know, just been physically ready to roll. But what's been most notable to you about his overall improved game over his time at Tennessee?
He's become a lot smoother. I don't know if that's the right way. So, I mean, he was a pretty herky-jerky kind of robotic guy that everybody looked at him when he got here and said, man, you're playing the wrong sport. You know, you ought to be a tight end. And you just wondered if he was fluid enough as an athlete to become a guy who could score from many places on the floor, if he could become a good shooter. And he's just put in the work. And you know, this is a guy that shoots 200 to 300 shots a day in the gym at some point in time. It could be at 5 in the morning. It could be at 2 in the morning. He's going to get his shots in. He loves to work. He has an unbelievable work ethic. He's retooled his shot. He's gotten much more consistent with it. And, you know, he's obviously become one of the heart and souls of this basketball team. And he carried that team to the win on Sunday. I didn't watch everybody in the SEC play. I don't know who was worthy of being a co-player of the week with him. When you do what he did in the second half against the number one team in the country, hard for me to believe there was a better performance in the country this past week in college basketball.
Give us a thought or two on the matchup with Memphis coming up. And I know Tennessee is clearly the better team, but sometimes you go on the road and you play one of those kind of ambush games against a team that views you as a rival. It could, you know, be a tough one for you. But I think the early start time is probably also to Tennessee's benefit. How do you see it?
Well, I think, you know, Tennessee, as you mentioned, is a better team. They got more depth. You know, certainly the more experienced team, as Penny Hardaway tries to establish his culture and everything he wants to do at Memphis. I think this is another good test for Tennessee's maturity. I thought Sunday showed Tennessee's maturity in the way they closed out the first half and not let that game get away from them, and then how they closed the final 4 minutes of regulation, which they could not do against Villanova, North Carolina, and even, you know, 2.5 weeks ago against Kansas. This will be a different test in the maturity. This is a game that you're expected to win, but you're going to go in against a team that's going to give you everything they've got. So can you match their intensity? It's on the leadership of this team. I think they will respond, but I think that this weekend's test against Memphis is as much about maturity in a different way as last week's test was about maturity.
Brent, great stuff. Thank you. Have a good week.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, from VolQuest.com, he's Brent Hobbs, joins us every week on Wednesday morning here on the Wake Up Zone. Check his website, all kinds of great info on Tennessee sports, football, basketball, whatever it is you're into. VolQuest.com is the place to go. Coming up, we always enjoy our weekly visits with Andy Staples. What he said about the Heisman results when we come back right here on The Zone. And if you'd like to join us, 615-737-1045. Mark's going to tell us first about the Lee Company, if you don't mind.
Exactly. And what do you want to build? The Lee Company, their mission is to create a workplace where employees can thrive. If you're a commercial plumber, welder, HVAC mechanic, electrician, or sheet metal worker, you can join one of Tennessee's 2018 top workplaces, Lee Company. Lee Company is recognized for its expertise in home services and for its outstanding service to some of the largest facilities and construction projects in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. Whether you're looking to change a skyline, build a family, or build your career, Lee Company is ready to welcome you. Lee Company employees receive great benefits, including continuing education through Lee Company University. Visit leecompany.com/careers or call them today, 615-567-1000. There is no better day than today to join an award-winning team. Visit leecompany.com/careers or call 615-567-1000. Lee Company, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. Imagine life better.